Well, again, I would give you a personal welcome this evening, and we trust that as we look at the scriptures and look at the gospel message, that you'll find in it a blessing for your individual situation. Now, we're going to read from Mark chapter number 15. We trust that if you don't have a Bible with you, you could listen to the reading, but we invite you to read with us this evening. On Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, and we're going to read from verse number 22. Verse 22 of Mark 15 reads, "And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him vinegar. They gave him to drink vinegar mingled with myrrh, and he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his raiments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of the accusation was written over, 'The King of the Jews.' And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on the right hand and the other on the left. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, 'And he was numbered with the transgressors.' And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads, saying, 'If thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross.' Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe.' And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?' And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, 'Behold, he calleth Elias.' And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, 'Let alone. Let us see whether Elias will come to take him down.' And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, 'Truly, this man was the Son of God.'" Now, I trust that will do for the reading this evening, and we trust the Lord will help us through with the preaching. I want to consider the cross this evening. We've considered the cross often, I'm sure you've heard it preached often, but we'd just like to think of the cross afresh, and we'd like to think of the cross as a place of division. We know it's a place of unity as well. It's where souls are united, it's where souls get saved, and it's where families get saved and all the rest of it. But we'd like to think of it as a place of division this evening. I'm sure that comes out in what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, when he said, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." That just means nothing, stupid, good for nothing. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish, good for nothing. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. And so you can see, it divides men, it divides time, but it also divides eternity. For some folk will be saved through the preaching of the gospel, and some folk will be lost. You know, it would be sad this evening if you were sitting in the hall and you were among those who were lost. Maybe you're still unsaved this evening, but we trust that you'll find the Saviour this very evening. In the next chapter, Paul says, Paul was proud of the gospel. This is what he said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. What a message is the message of the cross. Later in that same epistle, he'll say, I declare unto you the gospel, which ye have also received, and in which ye stand, by which ye also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. So the gospel is for men's acceptance, it's for men's belief, and it's also for men's eternal welfare in heaven. Then Paul would present the gospel facts. He would say, well, this is my gospel. This is the kind of gospel that has saved me. And so I present it to you this evening. How Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And he'll go on and on to speak about these things. Paul said, that is my gospel. That is the gospel. And of course, we just want to present that this evening. I know there are some folk who say, I have my own opinions, my own viewpoint. Listen, your viewpoint of Jesus Christ and his cross matters little. Your viewpoint of Jesus Christ and his cross will change nothing. But you know, the great thing is that your viewpoint of Jesus Christ can change your eternal destiny. And so you could be changed this evening. You're maybe sitting in this meeting, and I don't know where you stand in relation to these matters. But you might be sitting on the wrong side of the line tonight. You might be sitting unsaved. But you can be saved this evening just through believing on the Lord Jesus. You know, the cross is still the power of God. Still the dynamite of God. That's where we get the word dynamite from. It's the dynamite of God, even after 1900 years. What a message it is. And it will determine where you will be for all eternity. And so it's an important, it's a very significant message. And I want to bring you the cross this evening and introduce you to certain folk who stood around the cross, who were actually present at the crucifixion. You know, all of them saw the crucifixion, and we shall see how it divided them. I'd like to bring before you the two Roman officials for my first point. There's Pilate, and then there's the centurion. And they were divided by the cross. You know, Pilate, he was just a puppet of Rome. A cheap politician, you might say. He did not want to make a decision concerning Jesus. And so he took a basin of water. And he washed his hands and he said, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You know, he found them to be righteous. He found them to be just. But you know, he didn't want to take any decision on it. He didn't want to offend the people. He was a typical politician, if you like, wanting to please everybody. I don't know if you heard that interview through the week, but there was a certain man and he was just going to sit on the fence. A leader, but not prepared to lead. A leader and yet prepared just to be guided by the folk. That's where Pilate stood. He didn't want to take a decision. He didn't want to offend anybody. And you know, tonight, Pilate's in hell. There's a legend that goes about Pilate. And he's still got a basin of water in his hand. Of course, we know that that's foreign to the language of Scripture, because in hell there's no water. But Pilate's still got this legend as it goes. He's still got this basin of water in his hand, and he's still washing his hands. And when he takes his hands out of the water, they're still red with the blood of Christ. And so he plunges them in again, and he brings them out, and he says, Will they never be clean? Will they never be clean? His hands still are stained by the blood of Christ. You know, Pilate's hands will never be clean. He took his decision that day. Pilate, we're told, reigned in Jerusalem for 10 years. And I'm told that there was about 30,000 folk were crucified. In fact, I think on this particular day, there might have been more than three. The Bible only indicates there was three. But you know, there was an eminent scholar, Sir William Ramsay, who thought there might have been 300 crucified that day. But you know, the Bible only tells us of three because it's telling us of the division that was made at Calvary. And what a division it was. Well, there's Pilate. Well, Pilate, they had scrambled his way to the top. Maybe he had stabbed his way to the top. And he had reached the top, and what a pinnacle he had reached. And yet, here he is, and he's found on the page of Scripture. You know, he can't make up his mind. And tonight, because he couldn't make up his mind, because he couldn't decide for Christ, he finds himself on the wrong side of the track. But then there's Cornelius. I like this man, Cornelius. I've been thinking about him just for a few weeks now. The centurion. There are seven centurions in the Bible, by the way, in the New Testament. Some are found in the Gospel record and some are found in the Acts of the Apostles. Some are given a name and some aren't given a name. But this one here, this centurion, I think he had watched the Saviour right from the beginning of that crucifixion day. He had possibly brought him to Calvary. I've often thought of this man getting up in the morning. And I've thought of him setting out for his work. And I've thought of him, you know, he had crucified many men. You know, it was no big deal to him to crucify folk. And yet, as he watched this man upon the cross, it's only Mark that gives us the time scale of Calvary. He tells us it was at 9 o'clock in the morning when this man took his band of soldiers outside the city wall of Jerusalem and, of course, flung the Lord Jesus upon the ground and drove the nails into his hands and into his side. And you know, this man's watching this. You know, I'm sure the man was used to the swearing of those who were being crucified. He'd be used to all the ridicule in all the languages. I'm told there was 100 languages in the Roman Empire. And this man would be used to swearing and cursing in all those 100 languages. But you know, when it comes to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, what does he hear? Well, he hears this. I like what Luke says in his Gospel. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. It was while he was being nailed to that cross. Then said Jesus, what does he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, this man's different. And of course, the centurion came to discover it that day. What a discovery he made, eh? But the Lord Jesus was the Son of God. I was just thinking about this morning. It almost broke me when I thought of it. You know, when the Saviour goes through all these scenes upon Calvary, and when he comes out the other side, and when the Lord Jesus eventually dies, you know, this centurion looks at the Lord Jesus and he sees a terrible sight. A sight that possibly had never seen before or since. He'd never seen a sight like this. You know, Isaiah speaks of such a scene. He said, his face, his visage, was so marred more than any man's. You know, he was unrecognizable. They had beaten him. They had bruised him. They had spat in his face. They tore the beard from his cheeks. You know, this man, he would be such a sight. But you know, it's at that point that the centurion comes forward, and this is what he says. He says, he doesn't speak about the awful sight he's seeing. But you know, he's discovered something deeper. He's discovered in the Lord Jesus that he's different from all others. And he says, certainly, this was the Son of God. What a discovery to make at Calvary. What a discovery for you to make at Calvary. What a discovery for you to make this evening. That this is the Son of God. And so the centurion, he discovers that Christ is different from all others. What a discovery. What a discovery for you to make this evening. That this man is there. Let me say, this cross became an altar upon which the Lamb of God bore away your sins and mine. It became an altar upon which God placed on him the iniquity of us all. Says Isaiah, it pleased the Lord to bruise him, to make his soul an offering for sin. And in those 3 hours of darkness, we could have just spoken on Cornelius alone, because Cornelius is a subject in himself. You know, as he watches the Saviour, as he sees the darkness, I don't think he would be on first terms with the rending of the veil, but he would hear of it. The rending of the veil in the temple. And you know, all these significant details are told. And you know, they're all entered into Pilate's, into Cornelius' head. And Cornelius, he comes to the discover, certainly, this is the Son of God. Well, that's Pilate, and that's the centurion. You know, at the end of the day, they went their different ways. And of course, at the end of life, they went their different ways. Because Pilate, he went out to face the wrath of God for eternity in hell. Thank God, the centurion, he went out to face the glory of God in heaven. How different they are tonight. And of course, they're still alive, by the way. Pilate's still bearing the pain and the agony of a lost eternity. And this centurion, he's still in the glory of heaven. The cross didn't only divide Pilate and the centurion, but it divided 2 apostles. I use the word apostles advisedly. The Bible calls them apostles. There was Judas and John. They were both apostles. They both did the deeds and the works of the apostles. They both went out in the service of the Lord. And they both did wonderful miracles. But you know, there came that time. And within Gethsemane's garden now, just the night before the Saviour was crucified, and we see Judas approaching to the Lord Jesus, and he kisses him. You think of that kiss of betrayal, that kiss of identification, that kiss of deceit. Oh, they both got close to the Lord Jesus. And of course the Lord Jesus, he very graciously entreats this man that evening. He says, "Friend, why art thou come?" You know, he still would have, I believe he was still shown Judas mercy. Oh, we know it was ordained that he shouldn't have, I think Judas is in a dilemma. He's in a strange place. But you know, we know that Judas, we know he later confessed his sins. He didn't confess them to the right person, by the way. He confessed them to the priest. Confessed them to men. He says, "I betrayed innocent men." Oh, what an example is Judas. He's an example that we ought to avoid. He's an example that we ought to set before our gaze and seek to avoid with all our minds and hearts. Because Judas, because he confessed to the wrong person, Judas went out and he's lost tonight. And he's lost forever. What kind of man was John? Well, he was a big rugged fisherman. We learn that from the gospel. But we do learn that the Lord had won his heart. The Lord had changed him. And of course John says this at the end of his gospel. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, my book," he's saying, "but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." And so we're going to suggest this evening, in fact, we're actually preaching that Judas went into a lost eternity. We're preaching tonight that John went into eternity by a different route. And you know, as we have just indicated at the beginning of our message for the preaching of the cross, is to them that perish foolishness, but unto them that are saved it is the power of God. There's another case. You know, the cross divided woman as well. Divided woman. There was two women at Calvary, and I'm thinking especially of Pilate's wife. And she was on the brink of swithering. You know, she wanted her husband to have nothing to do with him. She said, "Don't do anything about it. Just withdraw. Just come back out of the situation you're in." You know, she was on the brink of deciding against. I do believe. But then there's another woman. And you know, she stood at Calvary as well. There was his mother. And there was Mary Magdalene. And what examples they are to us. Two of the loveliest women in the Bible. A woman who had been enslaved by sin. A woman who had been, you know, tottering on the brink of oblivion, as it were. She was being controlled and deceived, and she was being used by these very demons. But to have the cross gave her hope. The Lord Jesus gave her hope. And tonight we're watching the Lord Jesus die for her and her son. It still divides. The cross still divides. It may even divide families tonight. We don't know if there's any family here that is not united in the Lord. There may be some still out of Christ and without a Saviour. There may be some here tonight who as yet have not decided for the Lord Jesus. I used to speak about my cousins, you know, my dad had two sons, and we are both going on, well, in our weak way with the Lord. We have decided for the Lord Jesus. But my uncle, he had two sons as well. And one of these, none of them are saved, well, as far as I know. But you know, one of them, he lives a respectable life. But one of them got involved in drugs, and he's been almost in every prison in the country, and I'm not exaggerating. He was down in Wormwood Scrubs with the craze. He was the centre of the riot in Perth years ago. He was a prisoner who stood at the prison cell with a knife to his throat. You know, one of the prisoners was holding a knife to his throat. He was in Glen Ogle twice, a short, sharp shock, as they called it. Well, one day, Jim McMaster, he phoned me up one night and he told us that my cousin had got saved. Unfortunately, he's gone back to the old ways. Well, not back to the drugs now, but he's only in his 40s and he's a wreck of humanity because of the drugs. And I think of the divisions of Calvary. You think of them tonight. The cross also divided enemies. Did you know that? There was a Pharisee that came to Calvary. He came to Calvary in spirit anyway. And this is what he said. He said, "The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me." He would indeed say, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the dynamite, the power of God." My friend tonight, I wonder where you stand. But then again, I'd like to finish. The cross of Christ divided the thieves that hung on either side. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus, he hung upon the middle cross at Calvary. And there was a thief on the left hand and a thief on the right hand. And as far as the scriptures is concerned, you know, they both railed on him. And they both insulted him. And they both thought little of him at the beginning of the story. But then the story proceeds. And you know, this one thief, he looked at the Lord Jesus. And he looked at the title which was written above his head. "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And he must have thought to himself, "Is he really the King?" And he came to discover through the way the Lord Jesus had comported himself, he discovered that he was the King. He discovered he could be nothing less than the King. And so he appealed to the Lord Jesus, possibly with the last breaths in his body. He said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom." What did the Lord Jesus say? "Oh, there's a big queue." No. He said to that thief, "Today." He turned his attention away from everything else and he addressed the thief. The thief that couldn't have applied for mercy to the judiciary. Couldn't have applied for mercy to Pilate. Couldn't have applied for mercy to the Jews. You know, he was on that cross. And you know, he was the object of disdain and the object of contempt. But this is what the Lord Jesus said to him. He says, I'm going to take you to a better place. He says, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." And there is a legend. I know it's only a legend. But I love to repeat it. J.C. Ryle, he gives us this story in one of his books. He said the angels, they were looking down the pathway to earth, and they saw two men coming up the pathway. And then the angel says, we recognize one of them. One of them is the Lord. But who's the other? And then there was the different suggestions came. Well, it could be Paul. Or it could be one of the reformers. But then as they drew closer, these two men, as they drew closer to the gates of heaven, they all shouted out at once, it's John Thief. John Thief. It hung by his side. You know, if there's hope for the thief, if you would just believe on him tonight, just come and trust in the Lord Jesus. Come and apply for mercy. Come and appeal to him and ask him to remember you. You know, the thief didn't ask to sit on his right hand or his left hand. He just says, just take me into your kingdom. Take me in at the very lowest level if you wish. Just remember me when you come in your kingdom. And the Lord just said to him, well, he says, you'll not spend another night on earth. He says, today, you'll be with me in paradise. What a promise. Well, Calvary divides, okay. And you know, what kind of division is it making in this hall tonight? Well, there's some in this hall. And you know, we're just waiting for the coming of the Lord. And we're just waiting for him. That shout that's going to come from heaven one of these days. And we believe it will be sooner rather than later. And we're just waiting for it. And we could say tonight, I can almost hear his footfall on the threshold of the door. And my heart is longing to be with him evermore. But there might be someone in our meeting tonight who is yet are not convinced, yet have not believed in the Lord Jesus. Well, let me take you and just show you and just point out again how these men got saved, how these men made their choice for Christ. You think of the thief tonight. You just use these words. Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And back will come the reply from the Saviour. You know, the scripture says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And he's waiting. He's waiting just for you to make that choice of him. To offer up that prayer. To give him a place in your heart. To respond to him. Let me just repeat the verse that I started with. For the preaching of the cross. The preaching of the cross. The heralding of the cross is to them that perish. Foolishness is good for nothing. But unto them that are saved, it is the power of God. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's just conclude by a word of prayer. Our gracious Father, again, we just lift up the Lord Jesus before thee. We thank your God we have no other access before thee but by his name. O God, how could any of us stand in thy presence apart from him? O God, we praise thee for the Lord Jesus who makes it possible for us to speak to thee. And so we would ask thee this evening that thou wilt do a mighty work in this soul, that thou wilt just cause that sinners, O God, we remember some might just be little sinners, some might be big sinners, but O God, we're asking tonight that thou wilt just make some in our hall this evening to realise that the Lord Jesus is the friend of publicans and sinners. We offer thee our thanks and ask thee just to bless us as we would part from each other now, in the value of the Saviour's name, we ask these things. Amen. Now maybe we could sing a verse of a hymn. had a hymn picked, but we'll just sing hymn number 222. They nailed my Lord upon the tree and left him dying there. Verse number 3 says, forgive him, oh forgive, he cried. Then bowed his sacred head, O Lamb of God, my sacrifice for me, thy blood was shed. We'll just sing the first and the third verse only, and we'll remain seated while we sing it. Let's just sing it thoughtfully and prayerfully. 222.